Well, welcome to part three. I call your attention this evening to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. For the past two Sunday evenings, I've been talking about the ministry of Satan. Last week, I closed out with some of the things that he does. He seeks to destroy, he seeks to possess, searches the earth for prey, tempts us, would love to harm us physically. And tonight, I want to focus on maybe two more things, and then I'll maybe finish it up next week. But I want us to finish up tonight with two more things about his, what we're calling his career. And we see these in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, before we jump too much into it, I want you to remember that his man, and he always has a man, his man is empowered by his power. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, I want you to look back at verse 3. In verse number 3, there's a phrase that's used there, let no man deceive you by any means. Now, I want you to put your thinking caps on with me tonight. Does the little phrase any means mean everything's possible? All right? My guess is that the majority of you sitting here tonight, you're conservative. Everybody in my circle is conservative. Now, I've got friends that are outside of it, but, you know, but we don't hang out every week. The people that I hang with are pretty much, they're probably not as rabid as I am. I used to tell people that I make Rush Limbaugh look like a flaming liberal. But when you see that little phrase, let no man deceive you by any means, let your mind run a little bit. How many of you are familiar with AI? Some of you are, all right? I'll be honest with you, I'm a little spooked by that stuff. I know some people, man, they're just embracing it. Now, I bet you that some of you, especially you younger people, have done this. You do a search engine, and what's one of the first things that pops? I don't know about Google because I don't use Google a whole lot anymore. I use DuckDuckGo. Now, I do use Google email, all right? It's easy to remember. But the search engine that I use is DuckDuckGo. I don't know why I landed on that one. I just did. I don't have anything vested in it. But if you do a search on DuckDuckGo, one of the first things, if not the first thing, is AI assistant. You guys see that? And if you want more results, all you got to do is just click on it, and the artificial intelligence will give you more information. It's getting to the point to where I really don't have the ability to tell what is a picture that is AI generated and a legit picture, or an AI video and a legit video. I saw one the other day, lady was walking her dog. And all of a sudden, a tree fell on the dog. Dog walks right out from under it. Nothing to it. And then they said, AI generated. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty obvious. The dog would have been killed. And most likely the woman would have been screaming instead of everything being just calm as it could be and then her leading the dog out with the leash. What if AI gets so powerful that it turns into a satanic device and we are deceived by any means. Let me give you something else to think about. Sarah and I are constantly doing this at 6:30 in the morning. She gets up earlier than I do. She gets up about 4:30 and she'll go to work out, and then she'll come by the house and I'll be up, and nobody else is usually stirring for about 30 minutes, and she and I'll just bounce these things off of each other. And she gave me a thought the other day, and I thought, you know what, that's pretty good. Think about this. What if Donald Trump is the Antichrist? Now, don't jump to a conclusion here, okay? I don't think he is. She doesn't think he is. But what if we're deceived? You think about this. Is there anybody that has more power than he does at this moment? I don't think so. I don't think Putin does. The only one that could possibly would be Xi from China. But everybody else, they love him. In Israel right now, he has a 97% approval rating in Israel. He is loved in Israel more than Netanyahu is loved in Israel. Netanyahu, there's people wanting to put him in jail. And so right now in Israel, he's flying high. Now, do I think that he could be the Antichrist? No, I don't. Let me tell you why. Number one, he's not from the old revived Roman Empire. I think that the Antichrist is going to be probably European. Second of all, Trump invokes the name of God. Here in our portion of Scripture, we'll look at it here in a moment, we will see that the Antichrist basically rejects and hates God. I don't hear our president saying that. But this is what Sarah laid on me the other morning. How much time does he have left to be president? 3 years. November would be his first year that he was elected. But when did his first term begin? It began in January. So in January, he would have 3 years being president, but then you back it up to where we're at now, and there's like 3-4 months that's in there. And so what if that's the first 3.5 years of the 7-year treaty? Have you had that cross your mind? And she said, Dad, what do you think about that? I said, I think you're messing my theology up. That's what I think. I said, because if you're right, and she said, I'm not saying I'm believing this. I'm just saying I had this thought. There's going to be a 7-year peace treaty. But halfway through, which would be about the time that he leaves office, that'll be about 3.5 years. What if that's when the world turns on Israel? Right now, they're loving what they're hearing. And do you know that in Ezekiel, it talks about Israel dwelling in unwalled villages? There's no bars on the gate. It's a peaceful time. Now, I know right now that the peace deal is shaky because Hamas is now killing their own people. Just read this afternoon that Hamas is raising their ugly head again, and they're going after their own Palestinian people that are wanting them gone. So peace is not great right now, and Hamas has even attacked some of the IDF forces. IDF, that might be redundant to say forces. And so anyway, I want us to be alert. I think it said about the men of Issachar said that they understood the times. I want us to be a people like that. I want us to be a biblical people and understand that Satan is the master of deception. And I think that he has always had a man that would be in place. Now, I just want you to make sure that I'm going on record. I don't think that Trump is that guy. And there's multiple reasons why, not just the European aspect of it, or just the fact that he invokes the Lord a lot. But there's a lot of other things. Now, there are 37 traits that some people have for the Antichrist. Now, I didn't write 37 of these things down. But what I want us to do is I just want to just think about some of it this evening. Now, we're going to come back to 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll look probably again at verse 3 and verse 9. But right now, I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John 2, 18. Little children, the word children there means little born ones. It is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. So there's a difference between the Antichrist and plural Antichrists with an S. There are people that are against Christ. You just simply have somebody to try to take a stand for the Lord, and they are savaged. But there is coming a particular man. Now, do I think he knows who he is? No, I do not. Because I don't think that Satan knows who the man is. He just always has to have one somewhere in the wings. You say, why do you believe that? Because the Bible says that man, nobody, angels don't know it, men don't know it. They don't know when the second coming is going to be. They don't have any idea about that. Satan doesn't know it. People don't know it. The preacher on YouTube doesn't know it. All right? Nobody knows it except the Father in heaven. And so, because Satan does not know it, he's got to have somebody. Now, I remember reading about the Reformation when I was in college, and as I've done some individual study over the years, it was a common belief among the Reformers, people like Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, those guys. They believed that the Pope was the Antichrist. There's people today that still believe that the Pope will be the Antichrist. In the 1970s, Salem Kirby, who was big in a lot of our circles, he said it was Kissinger. Henry Kissinger's still kicking, as far as I know. He's not going to be the Antichrist. But what he did was he took what is called numerology, and he would assign numbers to the alphabet. And when you added all of the numbers up for Kissinger's and somehow some mathematical machinations, whenever you did all of that, you came up with 666. And so Salem Kirby said, Kissinger is the guy. You back it up a couple of three decades from the 70s, back in the 30s and 40s, they thought that it could have been Hitler. They thought it could have been Mussolini. Could have been Stalin. They were thinking about all of that because of the horrible things that these men did. Well, he's going to be horrible. And so he always has a man. But can I tell you that there are many Antichrists, and the spirit of the Antichrist is alive and well? All you've got to do is just observe. Be like the sons of Issachar. They understood the times in which they lived. How do you understand? Just watch. Listen. Read. You can see as much nonsense as you want to see. You can hear as much nonsense as you want to hear. And sometimes it gets to the point where you just go, let's just tune some of that out. You know, I've often told people, why don't you just not watch the news after 6 o'clock at night? It'll be there in the morning and you can get caught up. But if you want a good night's sleep, don't watch Fox News at 11 o'clock. Because you're going to be having that going through your mind. And so, I want you to remember that there are many antichrists. Not just there's one that's going to be the antichrist, but there's many that are out there. Well, I want you to go back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So there's a man, he is empowered by Satan. And I want us to look at verse number 3 again. Let no man deceive you by any means. Could be where you recognize that this is legit, or it could be artificial intelligence. All right? So let's not take anything off the table. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Falling away from what? Falling away from biblical truth. Falling away from what Christians have always known to be doctrinal orthodoxy. When we see a falling away first, it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the son of destruction. And so the first thing that we have to notice before this man is revealed is that there is a falling away. So what does that mean? Well, there's a couple of common interpretations. There's some people that want to ascribe the falling away as the rapture. I know that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that is one of the three go-to passages when it talks about the rapture. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So I think that if it were that, I think that it would probably not say a falling away, but it would be something like being caught up, which is what 1 Thessalonians says. I think that probably what it means is that it has the idea of a departing from Christian faith. There are people that name the name of Christ, but they don't believe anything Christian. There are people that that practice what is called progressive Christianity. That is a term that came in vogue probably about 5 years ago. That's when I first came across it anyway. How many of you know who Ken Ham is? Most of you know him. He's the Answers in Genesis guy, all right? He had an article back in 21. And somebody in the church, I don't remember what lady it was, but there was a lady in the church that sent this article to me. And it was crazy. And it was about progressive Christianity. And he released this, like I said, about 4 years ago. This is what it was about. It says there was a contemporary church in Nashville. And this is what they said. The Bible isn't the Word of God. Now, what kind of church would say that? Not a Christian church. Not an Orthodox church. Not a what we would call an evangelical church, certainly not a fundamental church. The Bible is what we hold as our faith and practice. We love the scriptures. But this pastor, and his name is Josh Scott, he made the statement from their pulpit that the Bible isn't the Word of God. He went on to say that there's stuff in the Bible that goes against the character of God. Now, I've heard other people say things like this. Andy Stanley has made statements like, we don't really preach the inspiration, we preach the resurrection. Well, I would ask Andy and I would ask Josh, I would ask them this. What do you know about the resurrection that's outside of the scripture? You have no extra biblical sources. How can you say that you don't have an inspired Bible, but yet you have a miraculous resurrection? That's not a rational position. You can't take Josh Scott's belief here and says that you can't take the Bible as, you know, the Word of God. It isn't the Word of God. And he goes on to say that there's stuff in the Bible that goes against the character of God. How do you know what the character of God is without the Bible? I mean, if you don't have the Bible, how do you know that God is love? Do you have some type of personal construct? Well, it seems as though there's many that do. With progressive Christianity, they began by calling themselves progressives, and what they mean by that is they believe that they're following the path and the teachings of Jesus, and it can lead to an awareness and an experience of the sacred and the oneness and the unity of all life. What kind of gobbledygook is that? You know what that is? That basically is what we would call post-Christianity, post-modernism. That's what we would call it. And so they believe that you can have love, 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 but you don't know anything about the character of God except their own mind construction, because they reject the very Word of God that tells us about the character of God. Something else they believe. They believe that they can affirm the teachings of Jesus, and they say that's one of many ways to experience sacredness and the oneness of life. How do you know the teachings of Jesus outside of the Bible? You say, well, we don't believe the Bible, but we read the Bible and get the teachings of Christ. So you're now the divine arbiter of what is accurate and authentic and what is not. There was a group, this has been 20 years ago, there was a Jesus group, and they would meet every 2 years. And what they would do is they would have delegates that would be at their meeting, and they would go through the scriptures, and they would determine, did Jesus really say that, or did he not say that? And the way that they determined what they thought was accurate and what they thought was inaccurate, they put colored beads down. If all of you were delegates at this Jesus meeting, you would all have multicolored beads. And if you saw Jesus and he said, the Father and I are one, and we're going to vote on it. And if we had 40 of you that put the white bead down, yes, that's true, and 41 of us that said, no, we put the black bead down, oop, got to scratch that off. Jesus, he claimed it, but he didn't really say it. How do you get to be the determiner of that? How do you get to be the guy that decides? That's one of the problems that I have with politicians. Why do you get to decide one thing for you and something else for somebody else? It irritates me that they don't have to live by the same laws that they enact. That really ticks me off. And so you've got people and they are part of that Jesus thing, and it's like, well, now, I know that that's in the red letters, but Jesus didn't really say that. That is a part of this kind of stuff where that they're departing from the faith. Now, my time is already getting away from me, and I'm going to try to finish by next week, and so let's just move on. They seek community that's inclusive of all people, including people that are atheists, people that are agnostic, but it's just all community, and we just all come together, and they want to do it under the love heading. That's great, but what do you do with verses like God hates sin? What do you do with that? Well, they deny it. They get rid of it. So anyway, all it is just a bunch of postmodern gobbledygook. And so there's a deception that goes on. So what's the Antichrist who is empowered, verse 9? What is he going to do? First of all, he's going to claim deity. I want you to look with me at verse 3 and 4 again. Except there cometh falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And what is he going to do? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So in other words, he is going to claim that he himself is deity. Now, I think it was last Sunday night we talked about Isaiah 14 and the six things where Satan said, I will, and how that he was going to usurp the throne of God. That desire is going to be in the heart of this satanic possessed man. And so he is claiming deity. Look at verse number 9, 10, and 11. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. That means he's going to have some miraculous power. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11. And this is a verse that causes some angst in my soul for people that I know that are not saved. And for this cause shall a God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. The little article A there could be translated the lie. And some people like Mark Cameron thinks that the lie is another name for the Antichrist. So in other words, he is going to be so adept and so good and so with the ability to deceive that he will lie and people will go, truth, truth. And they'll be saying that. And so he's going to have miraculous power. Not only that, I want you to go to Revelation 13, 14. The Antichrist, who is empowered by Satan, this is going to be something else that he's going to have happen. Here's our word deceive again. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So in other words, the Antichrist is going to be killed, but he's going to resurrect. Do you think AI could play a part in that? That dog came out from under a tree. I can't see what's over in China right now. I can't see what's in Israel right now. But if I had a video of it, I could see it on media. I could watch it on a television broadcast at night. I could open up my phone. I can open up a laptop. I could look at an iPad. I could look at any of those things. And I could see something and I would be wowed. Why? Because you think it's real. You absolutely may think it's real. And so you've got the Antichrist. Now, there's a difference of opinion. Some people think that he literally will be killed. Others think that he is going to deceive and it will be as though he is killed and there will be a false resurrection. You remember, everything that God has done, Satan has a counterfeit. There's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But there's also a counterfeit Trinity. You've got Satan, you've got the Antichrist, and you've got the false prophet. And so everything that is good, there is an opposite that Satan tries to deceive with. And so there is a resurrection that is in the offing here pretty soon. Not only that, there's a worldwide dictatorship. Stay in Revelation 13 and go to verse 16 and 17. This is what this guy is going to be able to do. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, all of us have known of stories where they talk about microchips. I bet a dollar to a donut this. How many of you have a dog that's got a chip in it? One of you. Anybody else? How many's ever heard about a dog that had a chip in it? All right, there you go. Okay. We've had dogs that they've gotten chips. You know why they put chips in dogs? So that if the dog leaves, they can find the dog, and they can find out who owns the dog, so they can find you and get money. That's what they want. You say, how do you know? Personal experience. It wasn't even my dog. We used to have two dogs at our house, Blue and Booge. They belonged to Sarah. Them dogs were escape artists. First two times, they said, this was a warning. Third time, one dog, Blue, got out, Booge was already gone. But when Blue got out, we got a citation. And because it was my address, they put my name on it. It wasn't even my dog. And Debbie goes, you ain't got to go to that. That's not your dog. I said, are you crazy? I know that dog belongs to Sarah. But that citation's got my name on it. If I don't go, they come after me. And she's like, you don't even have to go. Well, I didn't listen to her. I went. And that judge goes, Mr. Foskey, see that dog is a nuisance that lives at your house. And I said, well, she gets out a lot. He said, you know, I could fine you $1,000 and put you in jail for 6 months. And I'm like, please God, don't let him do that. He said, but I'm gonna just fine you today, but you got to get control of that dog. Now, Sarah's sitting there with me. She didn't even have to stand up. It was just me. So I went downstairs. I had some cash on me, and I paid, I think it was $280. And she wrote me a check and paid me back for it. I got back, and I said, see there, I'm glad I didn't listen to you, because I'd have been in jail. It had a chip in it, and they knew everything about the owner. Now, let's say that they do that to people. And underneath your skin, on your hand, there's some type of little baby microchip. Or, let's just say that when you get a Botox treatment, they put one in with the Botox on your forehead. You say, I don't do Botox. Well, Nancy Pelosi does. And they put that chip in there, and all of a sudden, you know what they do? Instead of pulling out a credit card, you just walk up to the gas pump and you go, and it reads your hand. Or you lean over and it reads your head. You say, nah, that wouldn't happen. Can I tell you it already happens? It already happens. You can go to theme parks. Now, I haven't been to one in 25 years. That's a lie. I did go when I took my grandkids. But when I took my kids to a theme park, they gave me a bracelet, just like I've got this watch, except it was smaller than this watch. And they knew every place I was at on that property. If I wanted a hamburger, all I had to do was go over, put that wristband on a reader, and I could get a hamburger, and they charged that to my account. And when we checked out, they put it on my credit card. I didn't even have to have cash. It's getting more and more and more. How many of you have been to some kid's ball game and they don't take cash no more? They only take cards. My grandkids play ball, and I'm telling you, it varies from field to field. Sometimes you pay cash, and sometimes we don't take cash. Some of them take cash and don't take cards. I had to talk my way into a ball game in Covington. I said, I promise you, if you'll let me in and watch my grandkid, I'll go get you some money and bring it back. They said, come on in. You're a senior citizen. You look honest. But what I'm saying is that there is a satanic effort. And it could be that this guy has got this ability. He's going to put that mark in their hands and their foreheads. Look at verse 17 and we'll move on. That no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark. Now, our theology is this. We're not going to have to worry about this. But somebody's going to have to worry about this. We won't, because we're going to be with the Lord. We're not appointed to wrath. When you read the Bible with a literal understanding and not read anything into it, you just read the Bible. What does it say? Okay, that's what we believe. Then, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord's coming for us and the church is going to be okay. But there's going to be people that are not in the church. And they're going to struggle. And there'll be people that will take that mark so that they can get something to eat. Now, I've never been so hungry that I'm willing to do anything to get food. But there are people that have. There are absolutely people that have. I mean, there are people that live in countries that are so poor that they're willing to do whatever. You go to some places like Haiti, the people that have money, they've got big old huge fences and they've got glass on top of the fence. They got barbed wire on it. Why is that? Because they don't want somebody coming to try to take what they got. And when people are hungry, they're going to do whatever they need to do to get something to eat. A few days ago, we were talking about I think it was Facebook on Wednesday. I think I was talking about this. You have the story of Elisha and what takes place during that time. You've got women and they're eating their own children. And there was a battle that was going on between two women. One had a kid that died and they said, all right, well, we'll eat my son today. And then tomorrow we'll kill yours and eat him. And the one that had the living kid that was going to be killed, the next day it rolled around, she'd hid that kid. And the other one was mad. So they went to the king. And what's the king doing? He's ripping his garments like, what do you want me to do? If the windows of heaven were to open up, I don't know what to do. And so you've got all type of trouble that's going to be coming. And if you don't take that mark, well, how is he going to control people? You don't have food, you'll do whatever to get a loaf of bread. Absolutely. Years ago, when Buddy first went to Russia, he told me, he said, Tommy, here in America, we try to decide what we're gonna eat. He said, here, we want fish, we want chicken, we want a steak, we want vegetables. What do we want? He said, the question in Russia is not what you're gonna eat, it's if you're gonna eat. He said, they eat borscht, which is basically cabbage soup, and eat bread pretty much all the time. They don't have it like we do. I went out to lunch today with a lot of our people, and a lot of our other people were in the same restaurant. I had a menu in front of me. I could have got anything of 100 different things. Why is that? Because we have plenty. But there'll come a time when you can't buy or sell without that mark. What else? He's going to desecrate the third temple. We're not going to turn to it. My time's gone. He's going to try to annihilate Israel. We will turn to that one. Go to Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 and 41. There's going to be a third temple that is going to be rebuilt. I'm hearing a lot about that third temple now, how that they think that it can come on quick. I know that the Temple Institute, they've already got all of the garments for the priest. I know they've already got that. Carl was just there. He's shaking his head. Yes. They already have the garments that have been woven. They've already got the high priest breastplate. They've already got all of the furniture that will go into that third temple. They've got people that are doing digital layouts of where that third temple is going to sit on that Temple Mount right now. And so there is going to be a push to try to basically desecrate that temple, just like Nebuchadnezzar did Solomon's temple, and just like the Romans did Herod's temple. And so, verse 40, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. He shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." Verse 41, "He shall enter also into the glorious land," that's Israel, "and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even unto Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon." So what's going to happen is they're going to be coming against that, like in Matthew 24, where it talks about fleet of the mountains, those types of things. They're going to be coming against that. And at that 3.5 year mark, if it's now, January of 29, February of 29, right in that area, if that peace deal, if it's going on now, that would be the halfway mark. And so, food to think about. One final thing, go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Last thing about Satan, not only does he have a man, but he accuses us night and day. Revelation 12, 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, when he accused them before our God day and night." Right now, Satan has access to heaven. There's coming a time when he will not. Right now, they seem to have the freedom to come and go. Satan does, his minions do, and he is always accusing the brethren. But there'll come a time when he is cast out for the final time, and heaven will be remade, earth will be remade, and we won't have to worry about sin, and Eden basically will be restored. And so that is the career of Satan. Now, his career is coming to an end, and so next Sunday night, I'll probably finish this series, and I'm going to call this his crash. When he crashes and burns, that's what we're going to see next week.